theme, and get into this message. Our theme for this month has been ownership, and I want to talk about a title under that main theme of ownership is, as we have hashtagged up here, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's rise up. Let's be more and more the people that God has called us to be. The message really is a call to action. It's a call to step forward. It's a call to move in all that God has got for us in our hearts and lives. I remember quite a number of years ago sitting in a coffee shop in Tauranga. And as I sat in this coffee shop having a latte or a cappuccino or whatever I was having, I was with a friend of mine. There was a few other people in the coffee shop that I knew. And we were there just enjoying that environment. As we sat there, we gradually, over a period of time, began to be aware that there was something happening out on the footpath. It was a great environment inside the cafe, but outside there was a disturbance. There was a bit of a tension building on the footpath. There was quite a few, as Sharon's mum often used to talk about, the youths. The youths had gathered, and there were basically a fight was brewing, and it was really interesting to be sitting in this cafe, enjoying a latte, but being aware that something was happening right on the doorstep that was turning very, very ugly. And I was in that situation, and my friend was, and others were as well. What do you do? Do you just ignore it? You know, do you quickly hop on the phone and ring 111? What do you do in that moment where you've got a decision to make? You've got to decide, well, are you going to ignore it or are you going to step up? What happens if you step up and you get involved in something that's hugely ugly, you get hurt, you're injured? But in that moment, you're in that place of, what do I do? There's a call to action. Am I going to step up? Am I going to do what I need to do? And it was great, really, in a sense that you're sitting there in that vacuum, sitting in there in that moment, and then my friend just beside me got up, and I just quickly followed him, and a few of us others as well got out there, and basically it was a group of girls that were just basically trying to pull each other's hair out, but we stepped up and then pulled them apart. Fortunately, it was girls. Maybe if it was some huge burly guys, there might have been a bit of blood flowing, but you know, the whole thing dissipated. The police were called. I don't know about you, but there's a moment there where you have to decide, will I step up, will I just ignore it? Will I be involved? I don't know about you, but you know, at times in life, you look back to huge events that have happened in our lifetime, and one of those huge events was the planes being flown into the Twin Towers in New York. And one of the things that I've often, not often, but now and again I think about, you know, what would John be like? What would I be like if I was on that plane that eventually, that was hijacked, but eventually crashed in the fields, I think it was in Pennsylvania. What would I be like in that moment where a plane is being taken over by some very evil people, but I'm caught in that, my life's involved in that, other people around me are caught in that environment? How would I respond? Would I be yellow? Would I fall apart? Would I just think, well, I don't know what to do? Or would I just get a brain freeze and just hide away? Or would I leap to the charge and save the day? You know, what would I be like in that moment? And I pray, God, I never have that situation. I pray that none of you ever had that situation. But in that moment, you have that thought, what would I be like? Is there some bravery in here? Is there some courage in here? Is there some ability to, let's do it? Or is there a cringing back? Is there a stepping back? Is there, oh no, I'll leave it to others. I don't feel I can do that. I don't even know what a plan could be. You know, I believe there's a real call on God's heart for the Church of Jesus Christ. It's a call to action. It's a call to step forward. It's a call to be involved. You know, over the last few years, we've been more and more involved in our missions focus, and Stephen's talked quite a bit about that in his great talk this morning. And you know, for a number of years, we've been involved in a missions outreach and focus in Cambodia. And we've had the incredible privilege of encouraging child sponsorship and sending money over to that very, very poor community and group of villages. You know, we've had monthly missions giving. We've had a program, I think it was last Christmas, where it was entitled, you know, Put a Smile on a Child's Face in Cambodia. And I was blown away with the generosity of Inspire. You know, we had one of the endeavors was, you know, you could buy a cow for $250 and that cow would be bought in Cambodia and given to that village. And there were cows, there were frogs, there were chickens, there were programs with young mums that you could buy a garden, you could even buy a toilet. You know, you could buy all these things. And what blew me away and for us that were involved in that was just to see the generosity of your hearts that bought into that missions endeavor, that provided the funding, that stepped up, that you responded to that call to action financially, giving into that. You know, we've had a real heart to look at ways, new initiatives to step into our community, to love people, to serve our community. You know, over a year ago, a very generous lady gave us tons of firewood, lovely Manuka firewood. And so a group of guys in this church, you know, worked very hard, cut it up, and we were able to give firewood away. We were able to sell firewood. A lady in our church had an idea just before the middle of the year, had an idea of a midwinter Christmas dinner. And that was such a huge event. But then someone else said, well, look, why don't we tie that event to a local charity that helps the homeless in our community? So that snowballed. And then we encouraged people to buy a sleeping bag, buy blankets, buy gloves, clothes, whatever. And the privilege of being able to load up, stack a car full of different product and take it to that community that's reaching out to needy people in Albany. And it was so good to do that. We've got a group of guys that often when there's a need for someone who's shifting house or some practical need, there's a group of muscly guys. Gregory is one of them. There he is there. Often, always, yep, I'm there. I'm in there. I'll help. I'll serve. And so many times we reach out. You know, we've also, you know, as Stephen talked about, you know, our local rest time that we're visiting. We need to do that more. There are other opportunities. Something else recently we've talked about is our community meals. And that's been great to see that happening. We're at home in your own time, or you have extra, you're cooking. Put it into a foil container. Write what it is and then bring it to the church. Put it in the freezer. So we've got a reserve, a supply there for needs both in our church and also in the community. It's already there. We don't have to phone up, oh, please, could you guys do some meals this week? We've already got a reserve there. It's lovely to open the freezer. Oh, wow, more meals have arrived. This is really awesome. You know, a little while ago, and I haven't actually got the brochure here, but a few weeks ago, Carrie talked about, and we talked about in the World Changes, an organization were doing this, you know, Love Bomb Our City, where you just went out into the city and maybe you gave gifts or you just talked with people or you did different things. We really missed a little bit the timing of doing that. But I think really in the future, that could be something that, especially after Pastor Don's message last week about, you know, being authentic, reaching out, just reaching over walls and touching people's lives, that would be an absolutely awesome thing for us to get involved in. So I'd love to maybe do that with a bit more planning and get a whole bunch of people that are just wanting to go out and love people, connect with people, build relationships. Our hearts really are just, whatever God initiative is open to us, we want to be involved in that. You know, I just want to just quickly, briefly touch on that. It's not always about a meal. It's not always about the firewood. It's not always about the helping shift something. It's about the people connection. It's when you share that, when the love of God is in your heart and you do things, you bring an atmosphere, you bring an environment, you touch people's lives. You don't just meet needs, but there's an environment, there's the very presence of God that you carry, that you touch the lives of others. You know, I just really encourage you, as Stephen has done so well this morning, look, I encourage you to get on board with the Light Party. If you can serve in any way, if you can help in any way, if you can come along on the night, come. Pray for the event. Pray that it would be a great connection point for families with Inspire Church. It would be a means of building a bridge, of building relationships, of reaching out. You know, even do the whole thing. Invite someone. Don't just come yourself, but get on the phone. Invite someone else to come. You know, I really believe that we're called to dive in, to not just dip our toes in the water. I believe we're called to activity, not inactivity. We're called to step up, not to step back. We're called to advance, not to retreat. We're called to make a difference. We're to not leave things as they are, but to see change, to see development, to see growth. I really love the scripture in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, and God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And I was thinking, as I was thinking about that in the last couple of weeks, I was thinking, God's plans, that word plan just seemed to really jump out at me. You know, we've got a few planners in our church. We've got David Pearson, we've got Graham Simmons, we've got maybe other people that do design work that are involved in plans. You know, one of the programs that I really love watching on TV at times is Grand Designs. It's lovely to see a plan that's on paper and then or on the computer screen and then to see it be actually put into reality. I want to say over our lives as individuals and over a church, God has got plans that He's seeking to work out in our hearts and lives. God is a master strategist. He's a planner. He's got ideas. He's got this master plan that He's wanting to work out in our hearts and lives and to bring about His purpose. It's wonderful to think as we walk this planet that there's that architect, God, planning you. Planning your life. But it's not an aimless meandering. It's not just this drifting through life, but there's a master planner who's got some incredible plans, plans that bring incredible hope and a future. You know, I love this passage of scripture, and I'd like us to, you can just listen to me or turn to it in your Bibles, but 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6, this is probably a difficult time for the Israelites. They were being attacked by a nation called the Philistines. They'd even come to a stage where in chapter 13 and verse 19, it says, "Not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel because the Philistines had said, otherwise the Hebrews will make swords or spears." So basically the Israelites were being really oppressed. They were being downtrodden. But I love this passage of scripture, and I believe it's just a real word from God for us. And it's talking about Jonathan, and this is in 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6. And it says, "And Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." And then it says, "Do all that you have in mind," as armor bearer said. "Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul." I want to just read that again. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to this outpost. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And then the armor bearer responds and he says, "Do all that you have in mind. Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul." I don't want to take a lot of time on that, but basically Saul is with his army of 600 men. They are camped and you know, positioned under what they call a pomegranate tree. They have one sword. Saul has a sword. All the other soldiers don't have any equipment for warfare. Jonathan has a sword, and he has his armor bearer by his side. He leaves the army, and he pulls himself away, and there's an outpost of about 20 men that are not that far away, and this is the context of this. Jonathan says to his young armor bearer, "Look, why don't we give this a crack, Nigel? Why don't we just, I don't really know whether God is actually speaking to us. Maybe yes, maybe not, but why don't we just show a bit of initiative? Why don't we just rise up and just, you know, knock on the door a bit, see what's going to happen?" And what I get from that is that I love Jonathan's enthusiasm. It may fall apart. We may even lose our lives. It may not work out that well, but let's give it a shot. Let's rise up with a youthful enthusiasm. And yes, it might all fall over and be dismal, but let's give it a good go. You never know. Victory might be just around the corner. You know, I believe in life, we need good leaders. We need people who sound a clarion call, who lay down a vision. But, you know, we also need in life people that don't go like this. Oh, see what happens to him. Don't think that'll work out. I think he's going to crash and burn. I really don't think God's speaking to him. You know what I love what the armor bearer says. He just says, "Do all what you've got in your mind, mate. Do all what you've got in mind. I'm with you, heart and soul." I love that. Well, we might die in the process, but let's do it. What an adventure! We're going to have some fun. You know, there are too many people in this life. They love sailing. Pastor Don talks about sailing quite a bit. Love sailing. But do you know what they do? They've always got the bucket out the back of the boat with a rope, always trying to slow it down. They're always trying to maybe try the tiller and turn it a different direction. But, you know, I believe we need a generation of people when the clarion call goes out and says, come on, church, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's take ownership. And we say, oh, yeah, we're going to rise up. We're going to do it. We're with you, heart and soul. There's a sense, yes, we are with you. I believe that is so much God's call upon our hearts and life. Don't you love their enthusiasm? Don't you love their, you know, we can be a Saul that's camped under the pomegranate tree. No weapons, bit discouraged, no weapons. Look what the Philistines have done. Or what about a bit of a sortie? You know, what actually happened was that Jonathan and David headed out. And they managed to take over that outpost. God sent a great confusion and the Philistines began to fight each other and they won a great battle that day. You know, I believe that the part of developing our faith and growing as Christians is learning to work with God, to partner with God, to allow His plans, His vision, His voice to be outworked within our hearts and lives, in our lives, in our marriage, in our family, in the atmosphere of our place at work, our home and at church. You know, this month there's been a number of messages on this theme of ownership. We've had a message about developing healthy boundaries. I think that was the very first message. You know, it was interesting. I was just thinking about that, maybe a little bit of an aside, but I was thinking the other day about how we're encouraged to put on the whole armor of God. And one of the I was going through the, you know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We're to take up the mighty shield of faith that will quench every fiery dart of the evil one. We're to take up the sword of the Spirit. We're to pray with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. We're to have take on the shoes of the gospel of peace. But when I was praying about that, but we're also to take the belt of truth. And I was thinking, it jolted me a bit. The belt of truth, I'm to put the belt of truth on. And in reality, the truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And I was thinking also that when we put on the belt of truth, that means we are to avoid error. We are to avoid wrong paths. We are to avoid falsehood. We are to avoid deception. We are to avoid lies. But the positive side of that is that belt of truth needs to be around our waist. You know, so we've talked about healthy boundaries. We've talked about, Pastor Jesse talked about, you know, about that whole area of, well, what about our present reality and the word of faith that God speaks over our life? You know, how do we look past our circumstances, our reality, and move forward into what God has for us? And then last week, Pastor Don talked about, you know, that inspiring message about, you know, stepping out of the box, loving people, being ourselves, being authentic. And Stephen has already stolen my thunder a little bit with that. But I encourage you, go online, you know, and look at the website. Go through some of the messages that are there. They're there for your encouragement. They're there to inspire you. You know, one of the things I really pray, you know, when with different preaching and messages, you know, talk about the scriptures. When you go home and you're in your car, you know, to think, oh man, I really enjoyed that scripture that so-and-so preached, and talk about it amongst yourselves. Let it sink in deeply, not just, oh, you know, that was a good message this morning. That was a good message. You know, but think about the word. What is God saying to me? What do you really feel was relevant for you? Talk amongst yourselves as you're in the car, as you're at the dining room table. You know, what's God say? What did God say to you? You know, well, I just felt that really ministered to me. And so there's that sense of allowing the word to speak more deeply into your life. You know, I believe this is a season. It is a call to action. It is a call to step forward, to step up. You know, we can't grow in godliness unless we are fighting. You know, the passive Christian life is no Christian life at all. There are things that we have to fight for, and there are things that we have to fight against. And we've already talked about Ephesians chapter 6. You know, when and I think I've mentioned this a while ago, but, you know, thinking about babies being born, you know, Tim was our eldest, you know. But then when Matthew and Hannah came along, for me, in a sense, it was when we heard that, had the scan that John and Sharon were having twins, you know. Well, it was fine as for a dad, you know, fine to have one. That was no sweat. But, you know, to have suddenly to step up from being the father of one child to be the father of three, it was sort of like this, I needed to sort of rise up. I needed, well, man, you're a family man now. There's a sense of the step in front of me that I needed to rise up and take responsibility. Hopefully it wasn't because I was just being a yobbo and irresponsible that I needed to. But there was a sense, I know in my own heart, it was a call to step up. It was a call to go higher, in a sense of, and take on that responsibility. You know, recently someone invited me to, a friend of mine invited me to the Salvation Army program called The Bridge, where they help people that have been just massively struggling with alcohol problems. And I just sat there and just absolutely was blown away with the night. Here are men and women who are owning up to the fact that they've got an alcohol problem, are prepared to say that, you know, I've got this issue, I need to deal with it, I need to face it, and they're stepping up. There was a chap there that got up and talked about, you know, the brokenness of his life. Basically, the police officers just stood in front of him and said, look, you've got two choices in life, prison or The Bridge. What are you going to do, mate? What are you going to do? And it was just, he had a family, he had quite a number of children, and it was just lovely to hear his testimony of how he said, no, I'm not choosing prison, I'm choosing The Bridge. I want to come free. I want to do this thing. I want to step up. I want to enter into my freedom. And I was just really blown away. One thing that really touched my heart about that night was that as each person got up, and, you know, they got up and you know, imagine if we did this. You know, we got up in church, and I got up and I said, look, you know, in my life, you know, I've really struggled with low self-esteem. I've struggled with inferiority. I've struggled with alcohol. I've struggled with this issue and that issue, with immorality. I've struggled with this thing. And, you know, and what would your response be? You'd be saying, oh, wow, I didn't know that they were in that, you know, did that in their life, you know. But, you know, one of the things that was so interesting about that night, different people got up and they shared and they said, look, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And do you know what happens? Everyone in the room goes, yay! They just burst into applause, you know, because they've made a decision to step up. They've made a decision to, look, I'm on the road to recovery. I've decided to make a change. I've decided to step up out of the coffee shop, as it were. I've decided to make a difference and to do something that I believe God is calling me to do. And I just was so blown around that there was a community. They made a decision to do it, but then the community gathered around them to support them and cheered them on and said, oh, you're doing great. You're doing really well. I want us to just touch for a moment on the scripture, Ezra chapter 10 and verse 4, that we've been looking at over this time. In the New King James Version, it says this, arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We also are with you. Be of good courage and do it. I love that. Arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We also are with you. Be of good courage and do it. I just want to quickly just talk about a couple of things about this. This was a word spoken by a man named Zechariah to Ezra. We could actually call this man like an advisor or a mentor. And so this man speaks this word to Ezra. Then in verse 5 it says, so Ezra rose up and he put the leading priests and Levites and all the Israelites under oath to do what had been suggested. You know, I just want to take a note here just for a minute. I believe that mentors, having someone in your life is absolutely vital. I meet too many people in my life, in my journey, they have no one. I'm not talking about giving them advice every second hour or every second day, but that they've got people in their life that they trust that now and again they go to get advice, to get some wise counsel, to get some mentoring. And I believe that mentoring is a vital part. You know, it's able, where people are freely able to speak into our lives, to bring encouragement, to bring challenge, to bring correction when it's needed, but basically with a heart to move us forward in our walk with God. You know, I want to say quickly here, there are many people that want to give advice. There's millions. I'll give advice about this, that, and everything. But there aren't that many people that genuinely have a concern for our well-being, that know a little bit of our journey and are able to, in a wise way, coach a word here and there that can just help us keep sharp, keep moving in the right direction, keep walking on in all that God has got for us. I encourage you this morning, whoever you are, seek out a mentor. Seek out someone that can speak into your life. Pray about that area in your own life. I believe it's so important. Just one other quick thing I want to talk about this is the Israelites had crossed over some boundaries in their life. God had instructed them not to take for themselves foreign wives. And so God's greatest concern for them was that so through marrying these women, their hearts would be turned away from the living God. Tragically, these nations were involved in some pretty horrible practices, offering their children as sacrifices to their gods, male and female temple prostitution, and many other horrible practices. See, in this passage that we're looking at, this guy is speaking to Ezra, and he says, this is a matter that concerns God. I want you to rise up and do something about it. And there was a call that came upon his life. It was a call to action. You know, there are many times in life that God calls us to step through doors. He provides a door for us and say, look, I call you. I call you prophetically. This is the door I've got for you. I want you to step through it. But I want to say on the other side, there are also some times that God speaks to us and he says, John, I want you to shut that door. That is a door that is not for you. That is a door you to stay away from. Many times in life, I think we can be so enthralled with the doors that God's wanting to step through, but often the doors that we're to step through before they come, there's often a time when God calls us, I want you to shut that door. I want you to move away from that. I want you to walk away from that. Sometimes we need to walk away from environments that are tempting, that are doing us no good. Sometimes there's that real sense that some of the material that we're looking at is not what God has got for us. Sometimes we can be even dabbling in wrong relationships, or we need to make a call to seriously step up and seek help for something in our life. There are open doors of opportunity, but there are also doors that need to be closed. You know, I don't know how many of you saw that War Room movie, the movie, The War Room. And there was one particular scene in there that really struck a chord with me that I felt was so acted out. It was by that, you know, the lady who we've been doing the Bible studies with, Priscilla Shearer. And she acts out that scene where she knows that her marriage is under attack. She knows that her husband is playing around and got this other lady on the side. She realizes that things were a pretty difficult, dangerous place for her. And in that movie, she goes through that time of spiritual warfare and intercession, and she walks out and she goes through this door, and it's like she slams the door and she kicks the devil out of her marriage, out of her home. She rises up with a sense of godly fire and says, I'm closing that door. God, I'm calling on you for your protection on my marriage, and bringing a real sense of God's victory in God's hand to that. I want to say to you, there are times in life where we need to rise up and slam some doors closed. They're doing you no good. They're not helping you in any way. I want to quickly move on. The time is going. We had a situation. Many of you know me, and you know I'm a mild, meek gentleman. I very rarely get angry. But we had a situation one time with one of our teenage kids, and they had a friend that was an absolute mischief maker. And this young teenager was a friend of our teenager and was basically causing major problems and manipulation and causing heartache in our home. And I remember one day, and this, man, I'm not like this. This is not John. I went around to see the parents. Well, I rock up and knock on the door and I talk to the dad. He's not really interested. I talk to the mum and the mum says, well, I put my hand up on the back door and they just go out. I've got no control over them. And I said, thank you very much. That didn't work. So there was one day at home, I remember this clearly, I was getting really concerned, perturbed and whatever, and some things were happening, and I just looked at this person, and I said, please, I forget exactly what I said, but I said, please, could you just hop in the car, I'm taking you home, you're not welcome around here anymore. And you know, for me at that time, I'm loving. I love people. I'm concerned for people. But that situation was opening a door of hell into our home. It was just causing havoc, brokenness. A door had to be closed. I could pray all I like, and I could try to, you know, spend time in God's presence and whatever. But there was a sense that God was calling me, the dad, to step up. Enough's enough. Sorry. It's got to finish. It's got to close. There are some doors that need to be closed. You know, I believe that we are called into this place of a call to action. You know, we're called to let in to our lives the very light of Christ, to allow His Spirit to move in our hearts and lives in a greater way. One of the things that I really had on my heart that I wanted to share this morning is that I really believe, and I shared this with World Changers just recently, I absolutely believe that God is calling each one of us to be like a prism. That God wants to come in a greater way and shine His light through our lives. And I researched this a little bit, and there's a guy named Isaac Newton, and he discovered this in 1666, a little way ago. But it says, you know, I'll read this. It says, when light passes through a prism, the light bends. As a result, the different colors that make up white light become separated. This happens because each color has a particular wavelength, and as each wavelength bends at a different color. And so, as we pass white light through a prism, we then get the full spectrum of the colors of the rainbow. We get the reds and the oranges, the yellows, the greens, the blues, the indigos, and the violet. And many people say, well, there's many more colors. And, you know, how many colors are in a paint shop? There are many. And one of the words that I had, I really felt on my heart, is that God is calling each one of us to carry the light of Jesus Christ. We are to be that prism that God wants to shine His light through and to bring the spectrum, the full spectrum, the colors of His outward endeavor, His mission's focus to this world. I think the danger of the Church of Jesus Christ sometimes is that sometimes God raises up particular people in a certain way and we think, well, that's what should, it all should be about that. But no, I believe that for each one of us here, the light of God, the passion of God's heart is to shine His light through each of our lives and our personality, our differences, our age group, our background, to shine His light out through us to majorly affect our world and to have huge impact on the world around us. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. And I think that's the most exciting thing about, you know, being in worship this morning, being in the presence of God where there's that openness to receive, that openness to sense God's heart. I want to just share, and I'm going to close with this. I was praying for the service this morning. I was praying for the service during the week, sorry. And I felt this, you know, it was like a word God gave me. It was like a picture, really, in a sense, that God is calling us to action. And God's calling us, first of all, to run. And it's a bit of a sporting picture. I don't know how many of you love sport, but I was thinking about, maybe just quickly stay with me for a moment. When you're playing cricket, you might be on the outfield. You might be way out here right near the boundary. But as a good cricketer, what you will do, you keep flowing with the game. You're out here, maybe that's your mark there, but as the guy comes up to bowl, you walk in as a fielder and you're ready, you're not standing flat-footed, but you're walking in with the game. But then he bowls and the ball's hit somewhere else. But what do you do? You go back again, you go to your position, the bowler bowls again and you're walking up like this. And you can think about that in cricket. You can think about that in rugby. How many times can you be on the wing maybe and the ball comes along the line but the ball never comes to you. You're running up. You're getting yourself in position, but the ball never comes to you. You know, I believe that this is such a key thing for us. We as God's people need to be running and moving. We need to be in that place of just being active, just moving. You know, Cindy Ruakere, when she spoke over conference, she talked about preparation in our life. We also, with the sports analogy, we're thinking about positioning. We're thinking about that sense of expectation. We're thinking about that thing of flowing with the game. See, I could be out there, basically I just lie down. Maybe the captain wouldn't even know I'm just lying down. The ball never comes to me. I'm not doing much. I'm way on the sideline. You know, I'm unemployed. I'm obsolete. Nothing's happening in my world. But I believe that for each one of us, we are called to preparation. We are called to positioning. We're called to that sense of expectation. We're called to flow with the game. And what do you mean by that, John? We're called to healthy relationships. We're called to prayer. We're called to read the scriptures. We're called to our devotional life. We're called to some aspect of serving. They're just small things. It's not rocket science. But in the flow of life, we're just doing those things well. But I want to say, life is more than just running and moving. There comes the day in our walk with God that this happens. Wayne, there comes the day that I'm out in the outfield, I'm playing rugby, then one day suddenly the ball comes to me. And you know what the most disheartening thing in life sometimes happens, in a rugby game particularly, where you see someone has passed the ball, and as the ball comes, oh no! You know, that's, you think, oh, you know, I, you know, why is that? Distraction? I wasn't looking to the one who's handing the ball. I wasn't keeping my eyes on Jesus. You know, but the joy of when there's a moment where in the normal things of life, suddenly we begin, it's like God steps us up a notch. We receive something. Suddenly something's in our hand. There's a rising of our pulse. There's a sense of our pulse, you know, of our heartbeat. You know, we sense God's beginning to blow upon our lives a bit more. And you know, the exciting thing is about that you know, we're looking to Jesus. We catch the ball. We catch the ball, we hold it, but you know, there's a danger. It's not the end of the story. So there's a great danger with this. Sometimes people think, oh, you know, I've got this, I've got the ball, you know, I'm running, I'm doing, you know, this is exciting, you know, this is great in life. But you know, running is really important. Catching the ball is really important. But you know, what do you do after you've caught the ball? You offload it. You see, it's never just about me. It's never just about you. It's what are you passing on to the next generation? What are you doing for others? What are you doing to help raise up something else? You've got something on your life. You're excited about the call of God. You're excited about what your faith is. But what is God wanting you to pass on? See, it's never just about you. It's never just about what's exciting about your life. It's not having sticky fingers. It's enjoying the journey, but then realizing it's the community around. It's my brothers and sisters around me lifting up, praying, serving in some way to bless the lives of others. My time is well and truly gone. I would love us, Jesse's going to lead us in a song of worship this morning. You know, I really felt on my heart, closed doors, open doors. I believe that God is speaking to us about both. And I would love to open the altar this morning, that if you know in your heart and life there are some doors that need to be closed, Look, I encourage you this morning. Come on the altar. Let this be a time of saying, God, before you, I close that door. And then, with a fresh sense of determination, Lord, I step through that open door. The open door of God's presence. The open door of what He's calling me. My next step. I love that picture. Are you running this morning? Are you catching the ball? Are you offloading it to others? Could we stand this morning?